Today's scripture reading is selections from Proverbs. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, nor overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then no one rests content untouched by trouble. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. A sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening again, Grace Downtown family. Good evening. For those who may not know me, my name is Duke. I'm one of the pastors in our Grace DC network and lead pastor of Grace Meridian Hill. A joy to be with you again. I'm taking a seat. If you were here with us last week, you know I was kind of under the weather, still battling some of that, and so I'm chilling just like you guys. So we'll do this together. Let me pause and say a word of prayer. God, thank you for your word. We simply ask that you would speak to us through your word and that you would give us your Holy Spirit, that we would be not just hearers but doers of your word, and that our lives would be changed for your glory. So come near to us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today we're closing out our summer series on the book of Proverbs, this wonderful book right in the middle of the Old Testament that offers up wisdom for all kinds of areas of life. And each week we've been together covering different categories and topics in life. We got one more tonight, and that is the topic of diligence, a fitting theme perhaps this Labor Day weekend. Some of you might know that I grew up in the deserts of Southern California. And so that means that I spent a lot of time as a boy playing with ants. All kinds of ants, black ants and red ants and purple ants. There are such a thing, you know. And I would watch them, really for too long, carrying sticks and carrying leaves far too big for them. Sometimes I would, in my rascally way, I was a boy after all, kick their anthills and ruin them, only to find them having created new ones by the next morning. I'd put them in jars and watch them tunnel through the dirt and watch them carry grains of sand one by one. And except for when they were biting me, and they would sometimes, I was fascinated by ants. And I still am, even to this day. The book of Proverbs tells me that given all this time I've spent with ants, that I might have learned a few lessons of wisdom by watching them. And maybe you have as well. Lessons especially around diligence. Actually, a surprising number of Proverbs are focused on the topic of hard work and laziness. We're warned not to be like the sluggard. You heard that phrase mentioned a number of times in our reading. Moving about like a slug, slow and aimless. Instead, we're told to be wise like the diligent, to apply ourselves with vigor and persistence in our daily work, whether if that's work in a warehouse or in an office or in a baby's nursery. And not only our daily work, but also in our house work, our spiritual work, and our relational work, all of life. being called to live with a diligent spirit. But what exactly is this diligence thing? And what is it not? And how do we get it? How do we do that? Can we try to answer a few of those questions? A brief time we'll spend together in these passages. But let me start by looking again at Proverbs 6:6-11, because we've got to talk about those ants. Let me read it for you again. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. So, a couple quick lessons that we learn from the ant. Let's start with the obvious. The diligent work hard. Verse 8, the ant stores its provisions in summer, gathers its food at harvest. Recently, I was out in my backyard watching a line of ants. I'm still doing this, I guess, right? Watching this line of ants, and they just keep going and going and going until I sprayed them with pesticide, and then they weren't going. That's a different story. Unlike the sluggard, the diligent are those that don't delay action, who tackle the challenges in front of them, who follow through on their plans, who work hard. And for this reason, the diligent, secondly, are fruitful in their work. Again, verse 8 tells us that ants have food to gather at harvest, presumably in the fall time. Why? Because they stored up their food beginning in the summer, because of the hard work they put in. Proverbs 12:11 says a similar thing. Those who work their land will have abundant food. Now, of course, this isn't meant to be a promise from God that just because you work hard in life that everything will work out just according to plan every time. No. But the idea here is the way that God has made his world, that generally speaking, God blesses the effort that we put into things, our perseverance, our work. When we put energy into things, things generally work better. The diligent, we're told, do not delay. And they are fruitful in their work. The next lesson we learn from the ant is that the diligent are self-motivated. The ant works hard even though, as verse 7 points out, it has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. You have never seen one ant standing among the rest with a uniform on, with a baton, a whistle, barking orders, punishing those that are falling back. No. See, the sluggard can only get going when someone forces them, when someone threatens them. But the diligent are internally motivated, are self-motivated. This invites us to consider, what are you like when no one is watching? See, because true diligence is revealed in those places, not when you have an audience, not when you've got a supervisor hanging over your shoulder. It's revealed in those secret places because it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our character. It comes from within. In fact, it's not just self-motivated. It's God-motivated. We'll come back to that. Fourthly, the diligent steps up to challenges. See, the sluggard avoids challenges, oftentimes through excessive sleep. Now, let's be careful here. The Bible does not say sleep is a bad thing. It is a gift from God. God grants sleep to those he loves. It's necessary for our replenishment and for our joy. But what happens when we use sleep as an excuse? Verse 9, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? See, the sluggard is an expert avoider and an expert excuse maker. And this is reiterated actually in Proverbs 26, verse 13, which honestly is like one of my favorite proverbs in the entire Bible, just because of the picture that it presents to us. You might have remembered it. A sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. So I can't do that job. So I can't follow through with those plans. There's a lion." Now he's clearly making up this drama. You know how? Because historians will tell us in ancient Israel, you occasionally might find a lion in that region, but generally, there weren't none. And so, this sluggard is creating what you might call like a plausible, but not really urgent problem. In fact, that first word translated lion is more precisely lion cub. So here's a kitty cat running through the street. And he's like, there it is. I can't do what I'm supposed to. I can't hide, right? I can't go to work. I might get murdered. There's always something, some drama, some excuse for inaction. It's never their fault either. But the diligent tackles the challenges and is blessed by God in it. Okay, last one. Finally, the diligent look ahead. The diligent look ahead. The ants are planning ahead in the summer. We saw that. They're laboring and gathering food so that later on they'll be able to get through the winter. The ant acts promptly without procrastinating, without putting things off. And the sluggard, on the other hand, never looks ahead. Notice how verse 10 warns us that a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands, Teresi, it's a little. None of it's bad in itself, but it can add up like too many breaks avoidance, too much little naps or sleep times. Cumulatively, it can add up and result even in disaster in life. A little daily habit of laziness or procrastination can add up to something bigger. See, the sluggard only has the short-term perspective in mind, can only think about what I really want to do right now, always looking for instant gratification. But we know things pile up and things get bad. We know that from the dirty dishes, that if you would just do that small pile tonight, it wouldn't be so bad. But once you let another night and another night pass by, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. If you just chip away at them little by little, it would be an easy task. But the longer you put it off, the harder it is to get that hardened cheese that I had to scrub off real hard last night. You could say the same thing about laundry. If you could just see me during college. I was explaining this to our kids the other day. I never did laundry. Putting it off day after day, week after week. The real solution is not to do laundry, it's to just buy more underwear, right? And then another week, and then another week, and suddenly it's my life is consumed by laundry. But what if I had chipped away, little by little, little by little? It's more work in the end than it would have been if it were approached with a little daily diligence. And it's always harder to complete tasks when you delay. See, here's the insight. Here's the wisdom. Problems get bigger. Generally speaking, problems get bigger, get more complicated the longer you wait. That's true of laundry and dishes. Y'all, you know, that's also true of relationships. When there's an issue not addressed, when there's a conversation still to be had. Life is actually, in the end, therefore, harder for the sluggard. Because those little tasks that could have been knocked off right away suddenly become mountains, snowballing, I'm mixing my metaphors, mountains. And now there's one over here and another one over here and another one over here, and it is just hard now. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. It really is. But the path of the upright, the path of the wise, the diligent, is a highway, we're told. See, things happen. Doors open. God blesses that diligence. Now let me pause here. Some of us really need to hear all this, this invitation to diligence, this warning against sluggardliness. For some of us, this call is a big need in some area of your life. Some of us need to be getting out of bed, literally, maybe figuratively, getting going, planning ahead better. What's it for you? Maybe you're fine in most areas of your life. You would never really characterize yourself as being a lazy person, but you might struggle even with overwork. But maybe there's that one area of life that you've been neglecting. Maybe it's that one relationship or that one part of the house. That one thing that you've been neglecting and not being faithful to, and you've been making excuses or you've just been avoiding it. And this encouragement to press in, to not be a slug, it really does apply. Maybe. What is it for you? But I know for some of us, some of you perhaps, you're listening to all of this. Diligence, not a word that you want to hear. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I just want to leave. Right? You might be there and you're thinking to yourself, I am so tired. How can you tell me to be more diligent right now? I need a break. You just made me more tired. Now I even just feel more guilty about all the things I'm not getting done. And listen, I get it. And I know you need rest. And I hope you find that soon. But I want to invite you to think about this topic this way. See, the Proverbs is actually giving us grace here, giving us a gracious reminder that especially to those of us who are tired and those of us who are not, listen, let's remember, we live in a really broken world. It's hard out there. Things are broken, things ain't easy on most days. The second law of thermodynamics is a real, real thing. Things rot. Things fall apart. You see, the Proverbs are reminding us about this basic truth about life, and it's that it takes effort and resilience to make it in a broken world. It doesn't happen by accident. It takes effort and resilience by God's grace to make it in a world that's full of brokenness and friction. But maybe more to the point, I think we need to understand that what we think diligence means might not be what the Bible has in mind, meaning that we often simply think that it's a call to work harder, to work longer, to sleep less, to get busier, to sweat more. But do you know the Proverbs is not actually talking about that? Diligence, friends, is not mere busyness. This is not just a command to do more. Check out Proverbs 12:11. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. So here's a person in the second half of that proverb who's described as one who chases fantasies. They are chasing, they are pursuing, they are laboring, working, very, very active. They might even be exhausted, and yet the passage is calling him or her a fool. Why? Because it's possible to be very, very busy and have completely misdirected your energy to the wrong thing at the wrong place at the wrong time. Just because you're breaking a sweat doesn't mean you are being biblically diligent. Proverbs is not just trying to get you to work harder or longer. It's trying to teach us to, well, to use the common popular phrase, to work smarter. Maybe more importantly, to work with better character and an enlarged faith. And with a right sense of priorities that's ordered according to the heart of God. To be diligent is not just to be busy, it's to be alert and alive to the things of God. It's to have a heart that's full of the joy of the Lord, where you begin to see everything in life as a blessing. When you see every opportunity as a gift that's been purchased by the blood of Jesus, an opportunity to love and to serve those around you, an opportunity to express the royal presence of God in all of life. It's finding energy as someone that's been saved by the grace of God. Someone that's eager to know God and to make him known. See, this is energetic labor that arises out of the joy of the gospel and out of a genuine relationship with God. In a word, it's not busyness, it's faithfulness that we're talking about. Faithfulness that overflows from the power of the joy of the good news of Jesus Christ. See, diligence, to close with this last point, is meant to direct us towards the service of other people. Look at Proverbs 21:25. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. Again and again in Proverbs, see, the lazy person, the sluggard, generally speaking, is a selfish person. The only thing that drives them are their own cravings and desires. The reason why they don't want to get up and get going is because of the prioritization of their own comfort, their own ease. But the righteous person, the diligent and wise person, is someone who gives without sparing. Why should you work hard in your daily work so that you have more to give away? Why should you be diligent in your relationships, resolving conflict, having those conversations, loving well? Why should you be diligent in your relationships so that you can serve people better? So that you can be a better lover of your neighbors, especially the most vulnerable neighbors among us and those who are without a voice? Why should you be diligent in your own spiritual formation, so that you can become more Christ-like in his servanthood? See, how different is that from the more typical ways that we try to motivate ourselves to be hardworking or diligent? You know, typically it's work harder. Why? Well, so you won't be like those lazy bums over there. What's that? That's just the motivation of pride, and it's ugly. Or maybe we tell ourselves, you know, work hard because then you won't be a failure. Or then God won't be disappointed in you. But what's that? That's the motive of fear, or shame, guilt. How about love as a dominant motive of life? How about love igniting the turbines, the engines, the motors that animate your life from morning till night, and then you get a good, good night of rest afterwards? What about selfless love? What if that were your power? And friends, we seek to diligently serve and to love like this because we've been diligently served ourselves like this. Jesus diligently served and loved you. I mean, this is the gospel, isn't it? Right? Jesus looked ahead, planned ahead, better than the ant, planning our salvation from eternity past. Not treating your eternity like an afterthought. Jesus worked hard to save you, exerted himself unto death, even death on a cross, taking the punishment for your sins, my sins, giving us grace that we don't deserve. He didn't make excuses. He didn't avoid the challenges. In Gethsemane, he said to the Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." He was self-motivated, Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. He was energized by his passion to redeem this world. And even today, don't you know, his love endures forever. It keeps going. He works at his love being planted into your life and into this world. He's working to redeem and renew all things until the day that he returns. Don't you know, he doesn't quit. He does not stop. He's faithful. And Romans 8 tells us that even now he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. He's praying for you. Not a second goes by that Jesus doesn't diligently pray for you, bringing you before the Heavenly Father, pouring out and pouring out and pouring out his Holy Spirit into your life and into this city. And Philippians 1:6 promises us, tells us that he, Jesus, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He's changing you. He's making you more like himself, your character, your faith, your perseverance, even the way you suffer, the way you hurt. He's doing that work, and he won't tire of that work. He won't tire of you. He won't give up on you. His love endures forever. Do you know this diligent Savior? Do you know his love? Do you know his service to you? You see, because when you do, it begins to change your heart. It begins to energize, activate, mobilize your spirit. So you start to say, I want to serve like him. I'm going to do like him. Not busy myself, but come alive to the world around me, into the presence of Christ in the face of my broken neighbor, the person I'm called to feed, the voiceless one on whose behalf I'm called to advocate, the image bearer whose dignity is being squashed, who I'm called to love and protect. Will you behold the diligence of Christ, this Savior who made this world, who's given us this world as a stage upon which he calls all of us to glorify him and to serve his people. We begin to know that it's a joy to know this God. It's a joy to serve this God with all our hearts, so that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians, you do it all for the glory of God, to not be sloppy with the gifts that I've been given. He calls me, he calls us to care, to just to care about broken relationships and broken systems and broken sidewalks and broken homes and broken cities, and to discover all the ways in which we might be called to apply ourselves with energy as servants of Christ. You see, friends, it's diligence that arises from love for God. It arises from our joy in God, because he's given us his Son, the friend of sinners, the friend of lazy, sluggardly, excuse-making sinners like me, like you. See, isn't this an invitation? Isn't this a joy? We're called to live this way because we've been loved this way, diligently. Let's pray. renew our spirits. Oh Christ, we do bring to you our tiredness. We're real about that. But we're asking for nothing less than the power of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that you have caused to dwell in us as a promise of the gospel, so that we are not defeated, we are not withered people, but energized and activated people filled with the hope of Christ. With that energy, call us into the service of Christ in the little ways, in the little spaces, in our city, in our homes, on our street blocks. Do all this because of your word. Do all this in us for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.